Kids These Days.
Kids These Days.
This is Kids These Days.
Mother's Day is this weekend, so what are you doing for the moms in your life? Will you send your own mother flowers? Help your kids make breakfast in bed for mom on Sunday? Maybe you'll hold the door open for a mom with kids when you're out and about. Well, however you choose to celebrate and recognize mothers and motherhood, this program is all about moms today. I'm speaking with Peggy O'Mara this hour. She's the editor and publisher of Mothering.com. Also with me is local counselor Sharon Fleck. I'll ask each about matters of mothers, motherhood, and happiness. Also, we'll hear what kids think will make their moms happy and compare that to what moms have to say about the same thing. And there's a special Mother's Day edition of Chef KTD today as well. Plus, we'll explore why many Americans feel that going into single motherhood by choice is not a good thing. All that this hour on Kids These Days. Hi, I'm Shanna Sheehy. In a quick read of the Wikipedia entry on Mother's Day, you learn that a day set aside to celebrate mothers and motherhood goes back to the time of the ancient Greeks. In the U.S., Mother's Day was officially sanctioned by President Woodrow Wilson in the early 1900s, and the spelling of this holiday was and still is important. There's an apostrophe between the R and the S, making the mother and Mother's Day possessive. That helps with the interpretation that Mother's Day is a day to celebrate our mothers, the ones closest to us. Well, what's your interpretation of Mother's Day? And how do you celebrate? Kids These Days wants to know. Write to mail@kidsthesedays.org or give us your comments directly on our website. That's www.kidsthesedays.org. And today on the program, we're talking about mothers and motherhood. We're also talking about happiness and thinking about that well-worn phrase, if mom's not happy, no one's happy. And here to help me do that is today's first guest. We have Peggy O'Mara. Peggy O'Mara joins us on the phone from New Mexico. Peggy's the editor, publisher, and owner of Mothering.com. She's the mother of four grown children. She's also the author of two books, Having a Baby Naturally, The Mothering Magazine Guide to Pregnancy, and Childbirth and Natural Family Living, The Mothering Magazine Guide to Parenting. Peggy O'Mara has lectured and conducted workshops in conjunction with organizations such as the Omega Institute, La Leche International, and Bioneers. She has appeared on numerous television and radio programs and has been featured in national publications including the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, the Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, Mother Earth News, and the Utney Reader. Thanks so much for joining us on Kids These Days today, Peggy. It's sure a pleasure to have you.
Oh, it's great to be here, Shanna. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, tell me first a little about Mothering.com. As we heard in the title of your books, there's previously been a magazine, and now a lot of the content or all of the content is online. So what might readers find when they go to Mothering.com?
Well, it has been an interesting evolution. You know, we started as a magazine in 1976, and then in the early 2000s, we started discussion forums on our really small website at that point. We had started our website in the late 90s. And our discussion forums really grew and have turned out to be the place where the young community of moms is going. We have about over 165,000 members, so many discussion threads on so many topics. And I'm kind of jealous of it as a mom who, you know, in my generation, you woke up in the middle of the night and you were so alone and worried, and the fact that moms can get online, ask a question, get help from other moms is really what we provide at Mothering.com. We've also got a lot of articles. We have put articles from past issues online. We've also put original articles online. We have a lot of media content. So we just kind of wanted to go where our community was going, so we've really been focusing on our website more recently.
And that mothering community part of your website, I have been there, and I have to say, it is just rich as a resource. It's a great place to go if you're just, like you said, sitting there wondering, gosh, I feel alone. This is happening with my child. Is this normal? What do other parents do? You can find answers there, and there are answers that come straight from other parents who have dealt with the same thing.
Yeah, and it just happened this weekend. I was talking to my son and daughter-in-law, and they just had their first baby. And my first grandbaby, Violet.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, it's so very cool. And she's now just about 9 months old. And her mom, Tessa, we were talking about naps. And, you know, Violet wasn't interested in a nap too much anymore. And her mom thought, well, aren't I supposed to give her the naps? I'm not sure what to do. And sure enough, then the next day I found on our discussion forums a conversation just about that. You know, is this a special time or can you be more flexible about it? So I think there's a lot of a lot of help for there, and I'm there for parents, and I'd encourage moms and dads to check it out.
And I also noticed that at Mothering, like you said, some past articles and other written pieces are there. And just perusing it recently, there was something I thought was great, which was a map of the United States with linkable clicking to the laws regarding breastfeeding in different states. That was pretty great.
Very cool. Yeah, I was just going to mention that. It's great you said that, because there's been a whole brouhaha on Facebook censoring some breastfeeding photos, so the whole breastfeeding community has gotten up in arms, and we put that map up there because people were asking about that more currently. But yeah, I think we're the only place that really has that updated map, and it's a very good resource. We have a map about the laws in the United States about breastfeeding in public, as well as pumping, the workplace laws as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Peggy O'Mara, you have been involved with Mothering with Mothering Magazine and now Mothering.com since 1976, as you mentioned. And this show, Kids These Days, is, you know, another forum for conversations about parenting and caregiving and raising children. And I'm wondering, why do you think there's a need for this kind of public conversation? You know, why do parents need, or maybe just want, caregivers need and want to have a conversation like this about what they're doing? I mean, sometimes I feel like, shouldn't this just be so obvious? Why do we have to be having the conversations?
Well, I mean, it should be obvious. I think you're correct. If we were in an integrist culture, right, where we all did everything the same and had always done everything the same, and we could count on just learning from the past generation, then that's what you would expect. You know, the practices of parenting would be second nature. But we've had so much cultural change in our society. We had the break, for example, of breastfeeding and bottle feeding. Generations up to my grandmother's generation breastfed. Then my mom's generation got enamored with new science formula. It was the cool new thing, and everyone was trying formula. So by the time my generation came along, we didn't have that continuity. I hadn't seen anyone breastfed. I remember when I first saw my friend breastfeed, I couldn't help but like be looking at her out of the corner of my eye. I felt so weird. I was staring at her. I think that's what happens to people today when they look at breastfeeding or breastfeeding images. They haven't seen it. They feel there must be something wrong with them because they're so fascinated with it, but they really just haven't seen it. So I think because we're making a cultural shift to a more, kind of maybe going back to a more natural way of parenting, a more intuitive parent, trusting one's parental intuitions way of parenting than the kind of more mechanical parenting direction we were going in a while, I think we do need support in that. And I think that even if you are doing something that everyone else is doing, you still feel like, you know, you're such an amateur yourself, right? So you need the support of others to say, hey, you're doing great, to just really give you a pat on the back, maybe some confidence, and to, you know, just share some tips with, you know, because I think you want ideas about how to handle things, just like we're talking about naps or what do you do about specific things. And you just don't always have those relatives around you, either who live near you or who have done things the way you want to do them.
So it's a collective relearning of what a natural family lifestyle is?
I think it is, because I think as humans, we learn through modeling. I mean, the main way we learn is through mimicking, through seeing others do things. That's the main way that mammals learn. And so we have to create that environment in order to learn from it. And so it is a collective relearning. That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah. Well, Peggy O'Mara, on Kids These Days today, we're talking about Mother's Day, we're talking about mothers, motherhood, and we're also talking about happiness. You know, I said at the beginning of the show that if mom isn't happy, then no one in the family is happy. That's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot in family life, I'd say. What in your experience of covering mothering for such a long period of time, is motherhood, is the time of motherhood, you know, from the start of when that baby comes to when the child leaves the proverbial nest, is this a happy time in women's lives?
Well, you know, you had showed me this study about in the UK looking at those kinds of things. And in the study talks about people with young children not being as happy as carefree parents or carefree couples who have just met, for example. And I was a little bit troubled by that because I felt like happiness isn't exactly measured that way. It's not, I mean, if I look at, say, a spectrum of my entire life, you know, and I put my life into maybe even 10-year segments, the time that I'm going to spend with small children, while it's very intense, is really a small part of my life. And during that time, I am going to feel stressed out. I am going to feel overwhelmed. But overall, in the course of my life, in my course of my life with my family, you know, I like to think it's like a necklace, like that they're a necklace of moments. And some of those moments are more challenging than others. But now as a woman who's a grandmother, I look back on my life with my children. And while I was in that period, and I had 3 kids under 5, I had 2 kids 18 months apart, it was so intense. But, you know, now I miss the intensity of that intimacy. There's nothing like the intimacy that you have during those early years with your children. And I miss that. I think that was a really very happy time in my life. That doesn't mean I'm unhappy now or other times haven't been happy. But I think we have to look more at life and happiness on a continuum, because I heard about another study that studied people. What they did is it asked people to rank from 1 to 10 their scale of happiness. And they found that even when people got $1 million, you know, so maybe they got $1 million and they went up to 10 with their scale of happiness, or they had a terrible accident and they went way down in their scale of happiness. Despite all those things, most people over time would average out about, you know, a 7 in happiness somewhere. You know, they're pretty happy, really. So I think that we can't just say, we just can't dismiss the importance of parenting, because some of it is hard and some of it does require self-sacrifice. And, you know, we don't place a lot of value on that in our society right now, but when I grew up, I think there was a little bit more value placed on the value of giving to others. And there is a time as a parent when it is more about the needs of the children than about your needs. And you are having to kind of put off some of your creative pursuits, some things, because the needs of the children are so intense. But, you know, it kind of all works out. You know, I can say now, looking back, I have children in my 20s and 30s. I can hardly believe it. But, boy, has that early time of intimacy worked out well for us. As the kind of relationships I have with them now as adults are really good, I think, based on the fact that I really wanted to have, and I think tried to have, a cooperative relationship with them growing up. You know, looking really, really taking their needs seriously, really taking, really wanting to meet their legitimate biological needs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think happiness is, you know, you got to make happiness. You got to make your own happiness out of whatever's happened to you. If your happiness is dependent on the things that happened to you, I don't know if that's really happiness. I think you have to be able to dig deep, and I think that's what parenting teaches you, to find your reserve of just innate happiness. Innate happiness because you woke up alive today, you know, and that's what you want to transmit to your kids, especially in this age with so much uncertainty. I think it's a job description for parents to be optimistic, to find optimism within themselves and share that with their children.
That's a wonderful way of thinking about the parenthood role, that there's a job description and that coming to it with certain skills will give you, you know, hopefully better outcomes. And it seems...
I used to write that. Yeah, I wrote that up in a couple editorials saying, like, you know, would you sign up for this job? Probably not. But then, you know, and then who's going to give you, you know, it depends on how you frame the job description. If you're talking about, you know, creating, you know, an atmosphere and an environment for a potential genius, for somebody who maybe is going to solve the problems of the next generation, I mean, you know, your job as a parent is, there's just nothing that compares to it.
I'd like to mention that this is Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and I'm speaking today with Peggy O'Mara of Mothering.com. And Peggy, you were mentioning that if you look at life and happiness in a continuum, that, you know, there are great times and there are times that are more trying, and that, you know, a C average is maybe where people really come when you look at your life as a whole. And I'd like to say that at CafeMom.com, they have something called the Mom Index, where quarterly they use a survey sample of mothers to measure how satisfied mothers in the United States are with their mothering lives. And that's exactly where they fall consistently, is in the C range. So that was an interesting parallel, I think.
Interesting. And what does that mean? Is it really C, or is it like, I mean, I kind of think of it more like, I don't know if it's a C, but whatever it is, it's a kind of a, I think that is an indication, looking at both those things together.
Well, since today's conversation is all about mothering, motherhood, and happiness, it seems like a good time now to hear from kids about this subject. I recently visited the students in Mr. Joe Winter's fourth grade class at Chester Valley Elementary, and I asked them, what do you think makes your mom happy? And whether there were plans in the works to treat their mothers to something special this Mother's Day. And here are their answers. But first, a little spoiler alert. Moms, your kids are listening.
Please go to your seat. Please go to your seat. Doug,
Seth, Tony. Hi, my name is Mr. Winter, and this is our fourth grade class here at Chester Valley.
So what do you think makes your mom happy?
A clean house.
What do you think makes moms happy?
Well, I have a stepmom. But
what do you think makes stepmoms happy?
Cleaning the house when I'm not asked.
Are you going to do something for your stepmom for Mother's Day?
I might make her a homemade present, like with cardboard or something.
What do you think makes moms happy?
When I always do my chores and clean her car.
Are you going to give a gift to your mom?
Yeah, probably tons of love and, yeah, make her breakfast and all that and clean the house.
What makes my mom happy is a lot of stuff that I can't list, because I don't remember most of them. But one of them is doing my chores without being told.
What do you think makes your mom happy, or your stepmom, or whomever?
When I do the right thing, like clean my room or something.
How about you? What do you think makes moms happy?
Being respectful to adults and being good listeners in school and clean the house.
By doing the right thing and listening.
What makes moms happy would probably be being responsible and respectful to her.
Being good to my mom. And tons of love.
How do you make a mom happy, do you think?
I don't know.
She loves it when I get A's, all A's, straight A's. She loves it.
What else does she love?
Me.
What do you think makes moms happy?
I think what makes my mom happy is if I'm happy.
It makes your mom happy when you're happy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Are you going to do anything special for mom on Mother's Day?
Mm-hmm. I want to give her my picture from Picture Day.
How about you? What do you think makes moms happy?
Not fighting with my sisters and brothers and do what we're told.
Do you do that all the time? You never fight with your brother and sister and you always do what you're told?
No.
Do you do your best?
Maybe.
Are you going to give a present to mom for Mother's Day?
Probably a necklace.
Well, I am a good cook. I can make scrambled eggs and bacon.
That sounds great. Are you going to cook that up for your mom?
Yeah, for the morning. Maybe for dinner and lunch.
Think you're going to give something to your mom for Mother's Day?
Breakfast in bed.
If you could have your seats, that would be great. Please have a seat.
Those were insights from Joe Winter's fourth grade class at Chester Valley Elementary. Peggy O'Mara, was one of those a favorite for you?
Tons of love.
I love that one too.
and then the one about if I'm happy, my mom's happy. I mean, those were beautiful.
Yeah.
Well done. Very nice.
I love that one too. And the child who said, I asked him anything else when he said grades made his mom happy. He said, yeah, me.
Yeah, me. Yeah, there was a great group of kids.
Well, let's figure out how well those Chester Valley kids did. Kids These Days wanted to contrast those answers to the happiness question to the answers that moms themselves would give. So let's hear those now. And Charlene, how many kids do you have?
I have two boys. My oldest is 15 and my youngest is 13. This age, what makes me happy is quiet time in the house. No arguing. And for them to be independent and to do things without being asked, it makes my day. makes my day when they do what they need to do chores without being asked.
What are the things that give you joy?
I love seeing them interact with other people, especially with older people, and just showing respect. I think that makes me the happiest, when they're respectful of their elders and smile and look happy about it. Just watching them be good people. Just be good people.
And do you think you're going to get anything special from your boys for Mother's Day this year?
You know, I got a pair of earrings last year, and this year they've been working on giving me good grades, so...
As a mom, what makes you happy?
Just spending time with my daughter and being there for her and being a role model for her. Just having her close to me.
Yeah.
But on Mother's Day, if there's something really special that could happen, that you could dream up, what would it be?
Flowers. Just flowers and breakfast and spending time with her, I think, is the biggest thing for me.
Carol.
And Carol, how many children do you have and what are their ages?
I have two children and a stepson, and they're all in their 30s and 40s.
And so as a mother of grown children who has grandchildren, what makes you happy?
Hearing from each one of them at least once or twice a month.
So this is when they call you up and say, "What's up, Mom?"
Right. Just knowing they're okay.
And do you think anything special is going to happen for you on Mother's Day? Are they going to do anything for you?
We'll probably all get together for family dinner, and my daughter will probably do the cooking. And she's a mother, too. But I always give her a gift for Mother's Day.
Well, Keely, how many kids do you have?
Two.
And what ages are they?
Two little girls, 6 and 8.
What makes you happy as a mom?
When my girls are happy and spending time with them, doing things as a family.
And do you know, will there be anything special happening for you on Mother's Day this year?
Oh, we pretty much do whatever I want to do, and I haven't decided yet, but usually it involves going to a park or a hike if it's a nice day, and me not cooking.
What is it that makes you happy?
When my 8-month-old is laying next to me in bed, and she is just sitting there, or laying there actually, patting my face and just learning all the curves of everything, and just that happiness in her eyes and everything like that is just so sweet, and it brightens my day just that much more.
Are you expecting anything for Mother's Day this year?
Just spending time with my girls.
Those are voices of moms telling us what makes them happy and what they might be doing for Mother's Day. I'm speaking with Peggy O'Mara this hour. She's the editor and publisher of Mothering.com. Peggy, I heard lots of themes there. You know, spending time was a huge one. And that when children are happy or treat other people kindly, that's a huge one.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, almost every mom said, if someone else cooks for me, that's great.
Yeah, that's great. And I love the mom of the 8-month-old just loving, looking at her baby and being so happy just looking at her baby's face. And
yeah, can almost feel the bliss of the moment.
The bliss of the moment, indeed.
Well, I have to tell you, Peggy, when I was talking to moms and asking them these questions, I asked a third question, which was, what gives you joy in your life outside of your family life? And of all the women I talked to, only one could really answer that question, like really could understand what I was saying and then gave me an answer. I wanted to know if you would find that unusual, or if that, you know, seems like not so unusual that a woman would have a hard time answering what makes her happy outside of that role as mom.
Did you talk to mostly moms of young children?
There was a good variety. There was mothers of really young children and also that grandmother as well. And then a lot of the women had teenagers and the other ones had school-age children.
Well, you know, it sounds like a stereotype, but I don't think it is. I mean, I think it is that we get the greatest pleasure from our relationships, and that our relationship with our children are, I don't know, they're just, I feel like with my children, I am most comfortable, you know, most myself with them. And so I think that I do get my most pleasure from my relationships with my children. But I also think as you get older as a parent, and you're, you know, that you also have to make sure that you don't lose yourself as a mother, you know, and that you also keep track of your own creative interests and do things that also give you pleasure that are independent of, you know, any relationships, I think. I mean, gardening, cooking, whatever your creative tasks are. So I guess I don't find that surprising. But it's a little stereotypical in the sense that there are other things in our life. I mean, that's what the whole empty nest syndrome we talk about, you know, kids leaving home. And you know, I felt like I certainly experienced that, but I also wanted to acknowledge that there was also a, you know, a good feeling of moving into another phase of life and having time to do other things.
Well, Peggy O'Meara, is there anything related to mothering and mothers and happiness that we have left out of this conversation so far?
Something I wanted to say before, and maybe it's, you know, going in a more serious direction, but I think it's important to note that one of the things that affects moms' happiness in the United States is that we have the least social supports for families than any developed country in the world. And so that we don't know. Sometimes we wonder, why do we feel so overwhelmed in the nuclear family as moms? And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, we're really kind of not designed to raise our kids alone. We're designed to raise our kids in community. And in other countries, there's paid maternity leave, there's paid paternity leave, child leave. There's more that addresses a parent's needs to really get the family established and all the time that it takes. So there's a tremendous lot of pressure, I think, on mothers to do it all and to, you know, take care of the kids and contribute to the family, because I think there's not any, you know, again, financial supports, and that affects breastfeeding and women's ability to breastfeed for very long. So I just want to bring that up because I think it's something that we don't think about because we, you know, appreciate the benefits or, you know, the life that we do have in the United States, but I think that there's a lot more we could do to support families, and I just want to put a little call out for that.
Well, Peggy O'Meara, thanks so much for being on the program today. It's been a pleasure to have you on Kids These Days.
Thank you, Shannon. Let's do it again. It was real nice to talk to you as well.
Peggy O'Meara is the editor, publisher, and owner of Mothering.com. We will link to Mothering.com from our website at kidsthesedays.org. Up next, we'll continue the conversation about mothers and happiness. I sit down with Anchorage counselor Sharon Fleck when we come back after the break. After that, KTD producer Sarah Gonzalez explores what many Americans think about being a single mother by choice. And our contributor Jessica Cochran has a special Mother's Day version of Chef KTD. That and more coming up in a minute.
And I fear my life will be over, and I will have never lived in a feather, always glaring in the mirrors. Mad, I don't look better.
Alice Cooper says it best when he sings, "School's out for summer." And it's that time of year again for South Central school kids and university students alike. Hi, I'm Shanna Sheehy, and on the next Kids These Days, we have a special summer reading edition for you. We'll talk with folks from the Anchorage Public Library about summer reading programs and a new teen center. And we'll report on new research that confirms educators' hunches that kids lose reading ability over summer break. Plus, in another installment of our feature, When I Was Young, Grown Up grown-ups think back to the books they loved as kids. Join us for that and a whole lot more next time on the program. That's Kids These Days, airing at 2 and again at 7 p.m. Tuesday, right here on KSKA FM Anchorage. We're back. You're listening to Kids These Days, where today's conversation is in recognition of Mother's Day. That's coming up this weekend on Sunday, May 8th. Don't forget. Before the break, we heard Mothering.com's Peggy O'Mara talk about motherhood and happiness. So in the second half of the program, I'm discussing these same ideas with Anchorage-based licensed professional counselor, Sharon Fleck. Sharon Fleck is a counselor in Anchorage. She's also the mother of two daughters, and she is a licensed professional counselor. She sees clients locally and has a special interest in providing support to women with perinatal mood disorders. She's worked in the mental health field for more than 15 years and in a variety of settings. And thank you so much, Sharon, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let me ask you first a little bit about the perinatal mood disorders that you like to specialize in. I don't know that I know exactly what that means and how it is that a counselor could help in a situation like that.
Well, perinatal signifies not just the postpartum period, but the whole that whole time period of pregnancy and afterwards. A lot of people are familiar with postpartum depression and postpartum psychosis, and those are really just a small fraction of what can happen for a mom during that perinatal period. There are really a variety of different things that moms can experience, from anxiety during pregnancy, after depression during and after pregnancy. So perinatal mood disorders encompasses all of that, rather than real specific postpartum depression, which is what a lot of people are used to hearing.
Pregnancy and early motherhood, it has this sort of allure around it, as if it's supposed to be this very magical and enchanted and wonderful and super happy time in a woman's life. I think sometimes hearing about mood disorders that can happen during that period of time or around those periods of time in a woman's life seems somehow odd or peculiar, and people don't necessarily like to think about that in advance. Would you say that that's something you encounter in the work that you do, that there's maybe a resistance to even thinking about this stuff happening?
There is, and there's a lot of resistance to acknowledging if something like that is happening. And I think that we can do a disservice to other moms when we don't say the truth about what our experience really is with motherhood, that it's really not that unusual to have a mood disorder associated with pregnancy or the postpartum period. It happens more frequently than gestational diabetes, and it's really one of the most common complications of a pregnancy. So if we say the truth about it, I think more women would be more likely to acknowledge what's happening and get some help and get to being happier sooner with less suffering in between and be able to enjoy being a mom.
So how might a mom know that she's in a position that she might be experiencing a mood disorder? What are some clues that a woman might know about herself or see in herself that would tip her off?
Well, some of the common things to look for are difficulty sleeping, not just in general. We know that moms, you know, during that early time, it's hard to get sleep because your baby might be up. But if a mom has difficulty sleeping even when her baby's sleeping, that's really something to be concerned about. If a mom is having a hard time bonding with her baby, that's something to really be concerned about. If she is overly concerned with other people holding her baby, or seems to be really worried about things happening to her baby above and beyond normal precautions. Some women experience intrusive thoughts about horrible things happening to their babies, and it's really hard for moms to be able to say those things out loud, that they're experiencing those problems. But those are some things to be careful of. And the good news is you don't have to just suffer with those things. There really is effective help.
And why might women at the stage of motherhood be experiencing those kinds of things? Is it, you know, all about the hormones going through a woman's body at that time?
The hormones can be a pretty big contributing factor. There are lots of other risk factors. If a mom has a history of anxiety or depression, if a mom has a lack of support during that time, if a mom has had some unrealistic expectations of herself and what she'll be able to do as a mom, those are all some risk factors that could contribute to a woman having a mood disorder.
Today's program is about motherhood and Mother's Day and moms, and we're linking those things to happiness and how a happy mom in a home can really affect the overall tone of that home. Is motherhood in general, and this might be a hard question to answer, but is it in general a happy time, or is it something else, a difficult time, a challenging time? Are there other things about motherhood that override that happiness factor?
I think challenging would be the word that seems to fit best, and can certainly have tremendous gifts that can bring happiness and growth for a mom. I think that it wouldn't really be a realistic expectation to think that it would be all happiness, that that could set somebody up to feel like maybe they're not doing it right. There are a lot of difficulties. It's a big adjustment period. Moms tend to learn new things about themselves. They find themselves being challenged in new ways. It's one of the times that seems to create stress in relationships, which isn't generally happy. So there's a lot to focus on. And if we can just say the truth about this isn't always happy, then we have a better opportunity to address those things and get the growth and the gifts that come from it.
Do women that you work with or that you've seen, is the reluctance to say, I'm not happy, or this thing that I'm doing, this parenting thing that I'm doing, isn't making me happy? Where does that reluctance to say that come from?
Well, it's been my experience that it comes from some expectations that sometimes we put on ourselves and sometimes come from other family members or our culture, that moms are supposed to be happy. And if we're not, then either, you know, we're not supposed to be moms, or we're not doing it right, or something's wrong with us, which just isn't true. I think there also tends to be a lot of fear if a mom says that she's experiencing a mood disorder. What we tend to see in the media are stories about moms who have postpartum psychosis, which is really a frightening disorder. And that really happens just a small fraction of the time. And other mood disorders like depression and anxiety don't have the same consequences and don't have the same risks. But I think because we associate a postpartum disorder with what we see in the media about postpartum psychosis, that probably contributes to moms being more fearful about saying what's happening.
And you, I believe, within our community locally, you help women, as we talked about before, with perinatal mood disorders. You're a counselor. You're a licensed professional counselor. What resources are there that you're aware of within our community for women who do need some support and need some help if they're worried about some of their thoughts or some of the ways that they're acting that seem a little out of the ordinary?
There are actually a lot more supports than there were even just a few years ago. There's a couple of support groups at Providence Hospital run through the Children's Hospital at Providence. And there's a group that I believe meets monthly that is specifically for women who are experiencing a mood disorder. And then there's the Cuddlers group that meets more frequently, where moms who might not necessarily have a mood disorder, but just want a place to kind of come talk with other moms and share, you know, some of their experiences and get some support, that also meets at Providence.
Is a connection with other moms, maybe in a similar kind of circumstance with a similarly aged child, is that an important resource for a mom who might be struggling?
Definitely. That sense of knowing that I'm not alone in this experience, and that really many other moms have that experience, helps moms to feel like they're not so unusual, that this is really a part of motherhood, that experience for a lot of women. And just knowing that helps a lot of women to just feel better about talking about it and to get that support from other people who know what it feels like.
And going back to a mood disorder, therapy for that, is it often or most often the case that a woman might be prescribed some sort of mood stabilizing drug, or are there other, you know, other or varied ways that someone might be treated?
Really, depending on how severe it is and what's happening for that mom, sometimes medication needs to be involved. Sometimes getting some support and just being able to say out loud, this is hard, this isn't what I expected, I don't know how to do this, and just get some acknowledgement for that being okay can really help a mom move past those issues. Sometimes it is important for moms to use medication to stabilize their mood. And, you know, reflecting on mom's happiness really having an effect on her family, there's a lot of research that shows a depressed mom is much more likely to have a negative impact on her baby than some of the medications that are safe even for breastfeeding moms. That possible side effects from Zoloft in particular has been shown to be really safe for breastfeeding. And, it's, you know, good to be concerned about those side effects, but really the bigger concern is the side effect that the depressed mom is going to have on her baby if she doesn't get the right treatment.
Tell me what you know about some of the research around that issue, around depressed moms and their effect on the children they're raising.
Well, kids tend to live in a world where the universe revolves around them and tend to attribute whatever's happening around them to having something to do with them. So if mom's not happy, there is often a natural thought process of, oh, I must not be doing something right, or mom's not happy because of something that I've done. And it's not necessarily a very conscious process that kids do that, but they tend to start having that that way of thinking about themselves, and it sticks. And we can carry that thought process with us our whole lives. And that's a lot of what I do in my work, is untangling some of those thought processes. And often I find people go back to those early relationships. And even though as adults we can look and see that mom having a difficult time didn't necessarily have anything to do with that child, that's the normal conclusion that a child will come to.
Well, that's a good time for me to mention a study that I recently read that was prepared by the Economic and Social Research Council. It's a British institution, and it found that there may be a direct relationship between a mother's happiness and the happiness reported by their children. 40,000 UK households with children between the ages of 10 and 15 years old were asked if they were satisfied with their lives. And in families where the mother is unhappy, specifically in her partnership, only 55% of young people said they were completely happy with their family situation. And that's compared with 73% of young people whose mothers replied that they were perfectly happy in their relationships. So I thought that was interesting, that at least for kids who are sort of, you know, in those early teen years or transitioning from children into teenagers, that whether or not mom is happy with whoever their partner is affecting how much they're satisfied with their family life. Do you have any comment about that particular finding?
It's interesting to look at that specifically. I think our relationships in general tend to be our main source of happiness. And so it makes sense that looking at that partnership would be a good way to gauge a person's happiness. And definitely, if we're not happy in our relationships, that's a daily, ongoing sort of environment that our kids are being exposed to of our general unhappiness. So it makes sense that would be a specific thing to look at.
Well, thank you so much, Sharon Fleck. Sharon Fleck is an Anchorage-based licensed professional counselor. It's been wonderful to speak with you this hour. Thanks for coming to Kids These Days.
Thanks for having me.
The desire to have a child and become a mother can be deeply felt by any woman, whether she's partnered, married, in her 20s or 40s. But what happens when a woman has the mothering desire but doesn't have the partner? Well, some women will become single mothers by choice, rather than pass up the opportunity to have a baby while their bodies are still able. It turns out a large faction of Americans think this is a bad idea. A Pew Research Center study from earlier this year asked Americans which type of so-called alternative child-rearing environment was the most harmful for children to grow up in. Nearly 7 out of 10 said that they thought single women raising children without a male partner was more harmful than gay parents, divorced parents, or unmarried parents living together raising children. We at Kids These Days wanted to understand this fear of single motherhood and where it might come from, so we went to the leading national expert on the topic. James Mattis is the author of Single Mothers by Choice and is the founder of the organization of the same name. Producer Sarah Gonzalez recently spoke with her from New York.
Hi, Jane. Thank you for speaking with Kids These Days.
Oh, sure. You're very welcome.
It's nice to have you. So I'd like to ask you more about single mothering by choice. Now, before we get into responding to the Pew Research study and having you tell us a little bit more about what you do, I'd like to know about your story. I understand that you're a single mother by choice.
Right. I am a single mother by choice of a 30-year-old son who is all right, as the movie said. The kids are all right. And it's a little different than many of the stories in our group because I actually didn't plan the pregnancy. It was accidental, but I made the choice after the fact that I really wanted to be a mother, even if it meant doing it alone.
The women that are in Single Mothers by Choice, the group that you founded, are they older? Are they younger? Are they, can you classify them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a pretty definite demographic, which is 35 to 45 is the kind of average. We do have people on both ends, older slightly and younger slightly, but it's basically women who are running out of time to be a mother, and they don't want that opportunity to be lost. So they've decided, similar to myself, that they'd rather be a single mother by choice than not be a mother at all. Or they'd rather actually not marry the wrong person in order to just be a mother, regardless of who the other person is.
And do you see yourself as an advocate for single motherhood, or what is your role as the founder and the director of Single Mothers by Choice?
Right. I've never wanted to be an advocate or tried. I really tried not to be an advocate. I think, if anything, I'm advocating that a woman think about this choice, and I want people to know that it is an option that's possible for women. In this day and age, women can, fortunately have this choice, but it's certainly just like married motherhood. It's not for everyone, but it is something that you need to think through.
The Pew Research Foundation asked just over 2,000 Americans what alternative type family structure they felt was the worst for raising children in, and worst as in which one was bad for society. And 10 out of 10 Americans said that a married mother and father was the absolute best structure for raising a child, while 7 out of 10 said that single mothers by choice was the worst situation for raising a child, that it was in their opinions. And I'm wondering, how do you respond to that? What would you say to those 7 people?
Well, I would certainly want to ask them if they know what a single mother by choice is, and if they know any personally, because what I've found is that a lot of people don't know what it is. They still have misunderstandings, and they think that sometimes when you ask them, well, what do you think a single mother by choice is, they think it's a teenage mother or a mother who's struggling, impoverished, and really doesn't have the resources to care for herself, much less a child. So that would be my main question. The other thing I have found in the 30 years that my Single Mothers by Choice organization's been around is that a lot of people don't like it in the abstract. I don't think any of us grow up and say, oh, I can't wait till I grow up so I can be a single mother. you know, but when it comes to the people they know, they often feel very differently than they do when it's presented as an abstract concept.
Sure, once you know one, you have a different opinion.
Yeah, and if you understand what's involved, these are, besides the age range that I mentioned before, these are primarily women who have good jobs or careers, who have college educations and more, and who really are in a position to emotionally and financially support themselves and their children.
Jane, in your book, which is also titled Single Mothers by Choice, one of the largest topics that you deal with as an author of this book and also as the founder of the organization is what you call the daddy question. What is the daddy question and how do you answer it?
Well, the daddy question comes up around 4 or 5, depending on how precocious the child may be, when they notice that some children have a daddy and they don't seem to have one. And they often ask, do I have a daddy or where's my daddy? And the mother, one of the things our organization has are email groups where the mothers discuss this ongoingly, if that's a word, for several years from the time they're even thinking about doing this until the child is actually asking. So we try to help one another to prepare for that question so that it can be answered at the developmental level that the child is at when they ask. Because the answer is very different at different ages, you know, depending on the child's ability to understand a lot about what a family is, what marriage is, what, you know, a father is, really.
And do you think that children raised by single mothers by choice are unique in any way as opposed to children raised in other family situations?
Well, there are certain things, I don't know about unique, but that certainly you could say are commonalities. One is that they were incredibly wanted. These women don't just do this casually. We have groups for people who are thinking about this, and one woman I know of thought for 10 years. She went from 30 to 40 until she finally decided to do it. These are women who think about it and who really sometimes have to go through all kinds of fertility procedures to conceive or adopt, and that's not an easy process either, adopting as a single person. So the children are very much wanted. And the thing that maybe is most unique is that the mother doesn't have to divide her attention between a spouse and the child. The needs of another adult in the house are not really an issue, so that the mother can focus most of her energy on the child.
Jane, just to wrap up, what is it about being a mother that is so special that women will go to such great lengths to have a child?
That's a really great question because that's the core of it. It is for some women, again, not all women. I think every woman has to think this through. Some women really don't see any appeal in being a mother. They see it as drudgery and work, you know, and it certainly is a lot of work. But for some women, it's a desire that they've had their whole lives, and they are at a point in their lives where it may be now or never, and they really don't want to give up that opportunity, especially, you know, if they're not going to be married in time to have or adopt a child with someone else. You can always get married afterwards. There's nothing stopping you, but there is a limited time that you can either conceive or adopt, and the choice part is about choosing to be a mother.
That was Sarah Gonzalez speaking with Jane Madison, New York, where she is a practicing therapist as well as the author and founder of Single Moms by Choice. Find out more about this organization by visiting our website at kidsthesedays.org. Now it's time for one of our regular features, Chef KTD. If you can remember back to the first half of this program, many of Mr. Winter's fourth graders said cooking for mom, specifically bringing them breakfast in bed, was something they planned on doing to please their moms this Mother's Day. So this week, Chef KTD Liz Madsen and her son Aiden showed Kids These Days' own Jessica Cochran and her kids how to make a delicious treat for just that purpose.
So, Liz, what are we making today?
We are going to be making strawberry cream cheese filled stuffed French toast with, we're going to use Hawaiian bread, and then we have cream cheese and powdered sugar and strawberries right there. So first we're going to make French toast. Crack the eggs for me, Aiden. Good job. Look, no shells. Here, Lily, do you want to add them into there and you can stir it?
Do we need to stir the eggs up on their own first or just dump it right in?
You can just dump them right in there. And then we're going to add a little bit of heavy whipping cream. We're going to add 1 cup of this. So does somebody want to measure out
Mommy.
1 cup?
Mom, does that go all the way up?
All the way. See, it says 1 cup. So somebody can add the cream in there. And then all we have to do is stir it up.
So what was in that bowl?
Cinnamon and sugar. I added a little bit of brown sugar as well.
Okay.
And and we need to add a little bit of vanilla. Just 1 teaspoon. You want to do a teaspoon? Here you go.
Whoops.
That's all right. A little extra is okay. So now that it's all nice and mixed up, we're going to dip the French toast in it.
That is so, Mom?
Mm-hmm. And I have a Hawaiian sweet bread, because it you can use brioche, it makes it really yummy. Or if you like sourdough, you can use sourdough. But I like this because it's got a little sweetness to it. So we're going to first dip the French toast in the batter, or the bread in the batter, and then we're going to cook it off like you would French toast. And then we're going to put this cream cheese filling in the middle of it and bake it off in the oven.
So like in between two pieces of it?
Mm-hmm. So it's like a cream cheese strawberry breakfast sandwich, pretty much.
So can you explain to me how you made the cream cheese filling?
That's just powdered sugar and cream cheese and a little bit of vanilla, and that's it. And strawberries, diced up strawberries.
Just a quick dunk is all they need?
Yep. See how easy that is.
So Liz, do you and Aiden have a Mother's Day routine or a special tradition at all?
Well, actually, usually I always have to work on Mother's Day because I'm in the restaurant industry. This is the first year in probably since he's been around 6 years that I actually get Mother's Day off.
So do you have any like really big extra special plans for this year then?
I'm not sure yet. Whatever he wants to do.
So we fried the French toast up and it's golden brown on both sides, and then what's this next step?
This is the cream cheese filling. I'm just gonna put that in there. And then we're gonna bake it for about 8 minutes at 350 degrees. And while that's working, I will make some whipped cream.
What happens while it's baking? That cream cheese just kind of melts and oozes around a little bit.
Yeah, it's not the prettiest looking thing, but it's delicious.
Well, that's all for this hour of Kids These Days. Thanks for being with us. We encourage you to keep this conversation going. You can do that online at kidsthesedays.org. There you can share this program with your friends, listen to archived episodes, or make comments directly and with ease. As always, we love email. Write to mail@kidsthesedays.org, or there's a contact link from our homepage. Next up on Kids These Days, we're getting our books out for some serious summer reading. I'll be speaking with reps from the Anchorage Public Library about its summer offerings. Also, we'll learn about new research that says, yes, kids do lose reading ability while they're on summer break. We'll tell you all about the new landscape of the library's teen scene and find out what you remember loving to read when you were just a kid. All that and more next time. Join us. Thanks again to our studio guests, Peggy O'Mara and Sharon Fleck. Fourth grade teacher Joe Winter and Principal Heather Milden of Chester Valley Elementary made those fourth grade voices we heard possible today. KTD producer Sarah Gonzalez contributed to today's show, and she manages all of our online content and social media. Jessica Cochran reported from Anchorage. Very special thanks to Alaska Public Radio Network's Dave Waldron. He ran the studio controls for us this hour. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and I'll see you next time on Kids These Days.
The ideas, opinions, and commentary you hear on Kids These Days are those of the hosts, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of its funders or broadcast partners. The Content Producers Guild is solely responsible for what you hear on the program. Kids These Days is made possible by a generous grant from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. Kids These Days is produced in partnership with KSKA 91.1 FM Anchorage, KRUA, and the UAA Department of Journalism and Public Communications.